And then Moses takes the Israelites and leads them out of Egypt. And now they're in the desert. They were there for 40 years, and Moses was their leader the whole time. Moses knew how to lead with when people complained, when people whined, when people didn't get along. Okay? Moses knew all that. He led that. He experienced that. A lot of difficult times. Moses led that group of people that kept forgetting all the time. Right? And so Moses was this amazing leader. And Joshua got to watch him lead. And now Moses passed away. Not only did he pass away, so not only is Joshua going through, I believe, this grieving process of having his successor just passed away. And now he has to also step up to the plate and lead and fill these shoes that Moses was walking in for so long. I believe this would be a very difficult task for Joshua at this point. Just working through what he's working on, especially with one of his good friends dying. Working through that can be extremely emotional and painful. And so he's dealing with that. And if, in the end of that chapter, in the end of Deuteronomy, it does say they mourned for 30 days. Weeping and mourning for 30 days, but I'm sure it went much longer than that. Because if one of your good friends dies, it's not just going to end at 30 days and you'll get over it. Okay? I know that by experience. For Damien, it's about a year and a half. And there's still things that I know that he enjoyed. And when I see that or see something like that, it brings back emotional. It just triggers me emotionally again. It's just there. So I'm sure that's how it was for Joshua too. He wasn't any different. Moses was gone. And now he needs to step up and lead. So is there any wonder that Moses and God said, "Hey, Joshua, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Don't be afraid." Because God says, "I'm with you." We're going to look at those verses. Joshua 1. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory." Verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go." That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound appealing? That you may prosper wherever you go. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." Wow, this sounds really good. "And then you will have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So this is God speaking to Joshua. And Joshua is just about, he's just coming in and stepping into the plate of leadership. And all of us, men and women, we are called to step up to the plate as well. In your home, as a father, as a mother, in your marriage, in your relationship, okay? There is a plate for you to step up to. Fathers, your husband, you have children. There's a responsibility there that you need to step up to, and there's a plate there. You don't have to. Joshua wouldn't have had to step into this leadership position, but God called him to that, and he was obedient. But as the need is very important for you as fathers to step up to the plate and be the father, be the husband that you're called to be. Wives as well. Your wives, your mothers. There is a plate that you need to step up to and be the best that you can be. We have lots of singles here. There is a plate. I think there's a plate for everyone to step into and to fulfill that role the best that you can. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Just like Joshua, when you go into there, to step up there and to be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, and know that God's with you. That's what we're talking about here this morning. So, another thing as far as being leaders, and I'm thinking of this whole transition of Moses and Joshua. We know that Moses told Joshua to be strong and very courageous, but I think the phrase more is caught than taught also comes in here, because I'm pretty sure Joshua learned a lot from Moses that Moses never told him. You know, he was in the wilderness for 40 years. He watched Moses lead. He saw what he did. And there's our children are watching us as well. They're seeing what you're doing. Yes, your words are important, but more is caught than is taught. And so Joshua, just with Moses being, Moses being gone, I'm sure there was a lot of things that Moses did that Joshua probably did the same, just out of respect and how he learned what Moses did. So verse 6, let's jump into verse 6. And God says to Moses, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to the fathers to give them." So what's he saying here? What's this verse about? God's saying, Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. You shall divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Three things that I want you to remember here. One, I want you to get out here, verse 6. That is, remember God's promises. Because I think that's one thing God is telling him here. Be strong and of good courage. Remember, I told, as I promised, I'm going to keep my promise. You shall divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. So verse 6, don't only be strong, be good and courageous, but remember God's promises. We need that as well. We need to remember God's promises. Verse 7 and 8, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So I look at this, and I say, the second thing I want you to remember is to remember God's principles. Because when I read this, I see this is a godly principle. Okay, now we look at the thing that when I read it earlier, I made special attention to, maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. The end of verse 7 says that you may prosper wherever you go, and verse 8 says that you may be prosperous, you're going to have good success. That sounds awesome, right? How do I prosper? How do I have good success? We want that. Well, you know what it says before that? Because God says you can have that. But here's what you need to do. It says, observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's a principle of getting into God's word and meditating on God's word. Did you get that? That's what this Bible, that's what it says, and that's what he's telling Joshua. The commandments that I gave to Moses, you keep those commandments. You meditate on my word. Don't let them depart from your mouth day and night. Then you're going to be prosperous and have good success. I still believe that it's true for us today, this principle. Keeping God's commandments, doing what is right, studying the word of God and not letting it go is very important. There's so many apps and everything else that we can get on our phone that are so appealing to us. And there's some that I have downloaded because they have some good content. Some of them don't have so good content. But it's not the Word of God. So let's not let it replace the Word of God. If I spend more time reading my devotional apps than I do the actual Word of God, my priorities are switched. There's a lot of good things there, and I'm not throwing that out, but what I am bringing in here is it's not the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be the base, the foundation, and when I look at this principle, that's what I see here. Obey the Word of God, meditate the Word of God. You know, Joshua, obey, meditate, and then you're going to have good success. That's what he says. So remember God's promises, verse 6. Remember God's principles, verse 7 and 8. And verse 5 and verse 9, remember God's presence. Okay, the end of verse 5 says, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember, number 3 this morning, remember God's presence. He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are never alone. So in the thing of remembering those things, we also need to be strong and be courageous. So that's the main part of the message here this morning. But why do we need to be strong? Why did Joshua have to be strong? What's the point of having courage? Why did he need strength? Why do you need strength? What's the point? Why is Joshua reminded not to be afraid? Why did God tell him that? Why did Moses tell him that? Why do we need that? The bottom line is, and the reality is, see, Joshua was just about to face a lot of challenges. He was about to face lots of obstacles. He was about to face lots of difficult times. And in order to go through those, he needs courage. But me and you are in the same situation. Life isn't just smooth seas. The reality, it's not. As much as we try and buy things and put things in place to make life easier, the bottom line is life is not it's not just always easy. So we need courage, just like Joshua did. And so this morning, I want to tell you this morning to be strong, be very courageous. Don't be afraid, because God is with you. In working through your obstacles and through your decisions and through your difficult moments, take courage. If we wouldn't have any resistance, courage wouldn't be necessary. Right? There's lots of resistance out there. There's a lot of things that need to be worked through. And so let's take courage, let's take heart, let's take courage, and let's work through the things that God wants you to work through. And we're going to look about that just a little bit that I mentioned about that God wants you to go through. There's things that we bring in to our own life sometimes that are not godly. Okay, we'll get there in a little bit. All right, several more, just some verses about people that were strong and of good courage. In Daniel 10, Daniel has a final vision, and I'm just going to look at that a little bit. I'm not going to read through all of that, but in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has this vision, and this is his final vision. I am going to read just verse 19 of this. It says, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. He's saying this to Daniel, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Daniel says, when he spoke that to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. If you want to read something interesting, read this chapter. And what it is Daniel has a vision here. There were several things in this vision in verses 10 to 18. The one says he was afraid. Daniel was afraid, but then a messenger came and calmed his fears. In 14 or 15, Daniel lost his speech, but it was restored. And then also, Daniel was very weak. In one of those verses, it says, okay, in verse 16, it says, and I retained no strength because my sorrows overwhelmed me. So he was weak, But then God came and strengthened him. And I look at that, I'm like, that's just a beautiful picture of courage. And we look at Daniel, we know that Daniel had courage. Time and time again, Daniel was a courageous man. It would take courage, especially the most, the one we think of when we think of Daniel is Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. Well, the reason he was thrown in the lion's den, because he had courage to pray. Lots of courage to pray. And so Daniel was a very courageous man. And in verse 19, he says, fear not, be strong. So not only is the commandment to be strong, we're talking about, be strong, be of good courage. But the other one that's tied in here is don't be afraid. Do not fear. And I mentioned this last Sunday, Jesus' most used words that were recorded were do not be afraid. Do not fear. In the midst of all the chaos and turmoil and uncertainty that we're living in right now, those words are still so true. I got this, Jesus says. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Be strong, be of good courage. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. I'm going to read several more verses here that talk about courage. And this in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the second to last chapter, and Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Now, that word doesn't have the word courage in it, but there's courage all over it. And see, Paul is just, he's just finishing up this letter to the Corinthians. I just love the way he says this. He says, be strong, be immovable. You always abound in the work of the Lord. Remember, it's not in vain. And so when I look at that verse, I'm just recognizing that Paul is saying to the church here in Corinth, life isn't always going to be easy. Expect it. There's going to be some difficult times. So take courage. Verse 13 of chapter 16, this is now the last verse. I'm sorry, the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And Paul here again is saying, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And so I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing, he's recognizing there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be dangers, there's going to be temptations. It's not going to be easy, but stand strong. Don't waver, don't hesitate, be strong. It's how Paul ends his first book of 1 Corinthians. And so, be strong and be very courageous. And we know that we look in Ephesians chapter 6, where you have the armor of God in verses 10 through 18. Why do you need the armor of God? What's the point of having an armor if there is no battle? And sometimes we forget this, but there is a battle. There most certainly is a battle. And this chapter talks about it. Verse 10, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, when he starts out with this armor of God, he uses this word, finally. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 10, the first word is finally. And so when I look at that, I'm like, all right, here is bottom line. Paul is saying, finally, here's what it is. This is it. And you know what he says? He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so I want to encourage you this morning to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, do you get that? This is not just being strong in your own physical strength or being strong in your own mental strength. This says to be strong in the Lord. And there's a difference. Being strong in your own strength or being strong in the Lord. What I want to talk about to you this morning here is to be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. David's a great example of this as well. The courage that David had, the strength that David had, and we could talk about David there's all kinds of stories about in the Bible about David. Killing lions, killing bears, killing a giant, that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of strength. Now, the thing that is amazing to me is that David knew where his strength came from. He knew where to get his courage. He knew where to tap into that. Because Psalms 27, verse 1. And if you don't memorize, if you want to memorize a verse, this is a great verse to memorize, I'm telling you. This is what David says in Psalms 27, 1. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You get that? David says, "The Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Then he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There's a lot in that verse. But yes, David is the man that killed lions and bears and Goliath. But he knew where to get his strength. And that verse sums it up. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That's what I want to get to this morning, to be strong, be courageous in the Lord, recognizing that that comes from God. David knew that. David also knew where to get his direction. In Psalms 119, 105, David writes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I remember that verse for me going to school at Weavertown, the school sign that was out along the road, you know, where it said Weavertown Mennonite School. The verse along the bottom was Psalm 119, 105. And that was, it was this verse: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But see, David wrote that, but David knew that. Again, I'm looking at what David knew as a man. This incredibly and courageous man, he says, "Your word is a light unto my path." That gives me direction. And it's becoming more alarming to me how many people are seeking direction and not reading God's word. It really is. People are like, "Well, what should I be doing? What's God's will for my life?" A question I want to ask them is, are you reading the word of God? David says the word of God is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. The word of God gives direction. David knew that. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. All right, 2 Chronicles 25, and I want to look at a story, and this guy was, his name was Amaziah. He was 25 years old, and I'm going to, 2 Chronicles 25, we're just going to look a little bit at the story of Amaziah here and what we can learn from him. 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoram of Jerusalem. But what I want to get here at the story of, actually, I'm going to read it. I'm going to start in verse 5. Just pay attention here to this story. This is a war against Edom. This is Amaziah, a 25-year-old man. "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, and he set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds according to their fathers' houses throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above. He found there that there was 300,000 choice men able to go to war who could handle the spear and the shield." That's a lot of people. That's Penn State times three, right? Doesn't that hold 105 or something like that? Okay, you triple that. 300,000 men that are good with a sword and with a spear. And Amaziah has these men. This is an incredible amount of men. This is a big army. Not only does he have that, but look what else he does. Verse 6, it says, "He hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver." So he gets 100 more thousand men from Israel. So he has 400,000 men. What can you do with 400,000 men? An awful lot. And he's about to go to war and fight Edom with 400,000 men. You talk about having your bases covered with manpower. He's got this one covered with manpower. But look at verse 7. It says, "There's a man of God came to him and said, 'O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim.'" Verse 8, but if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy. For God has the power to help, and God has the power to overthrow. Do you get that? Amaziah has 400,000 men. He's about to go to the Battle of Edom. And this one prophet of God comes to him and says, don't take those people from Israel with you, because God's not with them. But he gives them the option. He says, if you go, be strong in battle, but God shall make you fall before the enemy, because God has the power to help you, or God has the power to overcome. And what I want us to learn from this is asking you the question, is God in it? There's a lot of ungodly things that we can be strong in. There's lots of ungodly things that we can be courageous in. But is God in it? Because God has the ability to make you successful, or he has the ability for it to collapse. Let's not forget that. And then Amaziah does. He lets the men go. 100,000 troops. He lets them send. He sends them back. Verse 10. Amaziah discharged the troops that came to him from Ephraim. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused. They were upset against Judah, but they did return home, it says, in great anger. Verse 11. Amaziah strengthened himself, leading his people. He went to the Valley of Salt, and he killed 10,000 people of the people of Seir. So he did go and he killed 10,000 people. Now, 10,000 people is a lot of people. But remember, his army is 300,000. He still has the 300,000. He just sent 100,000 home, because that's what the prophet said not to take along. So they killed 10,000 people there. And then in verse 12, it says the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive. So they killed 10,000, and then they captured 10,000, and they brought them to the top of a rock. And they cast them down from the top of the rock, so they were dashed in pieces. That would have been a pretty gruesome scene. And some translations say a cliff. But they got 10,000 men. They captured 10,000 men, and they threw them over the top of a cliff, and they died at the bottom. So in this Battle of Edom, they did kill 20,000 people. Now, the story, but the main point that I want to get here is that God has the power to help you, or God has the power to completely not make it work. And so be strong, be courageous in the Lord. The things that God is asking you to do, be strong, be very courageous. Jeremiah 23 says this, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from their evil doings. Same situation here when I read that. If God is in it, or if God is not in it, it's very important. And so I want to bless you this morning with strength and courage to not be afraid. And remember, God is with you in the Lord, the things that God's calling you to. And there's all kinds of other people we could talk about. Courage. We talked about Joshua, Daniel, Moses, Gideon, Samson, even ladies. Esther, Mary. There's lots of women in the Bible that were very strong, that were very courageous as well. And just think about it. Just look at your life a little bit. I'm sure there's something in your life somewhere to where you had some courage, right? It took some courage to make some decisions, right? Mike, you probably had to have some courage to ask Alyssa for a date. Is that right? Are you glad you did? I think a lot of us men could, but it took courage. What I'm saying is here, there are times in our life that things took courage. And so I want you to reflect a little bit. And just look at the things where you were courageous in. Was it worth being courageous? I think a lot of times where you were courageous, after you were through it, you went, you know what, I'm glad I was courageous. I'm glad I took the courage to ask that question. I'm glad I took the courage to do that for that person or make that phone call, whatever, you name it. There's times in your life to where you were already courageous. But I'm asking you this morning to keep being courageous in the things of the Lord. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. God's never going to leave you. God's never going to forsake you. And remember the three things we took out of Joshua chapter 1 is remember God's promises, remember God's principles, and remember God's presence, that I'm always going to be with you. All right, thank you so much for coming. I want to bless you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then you're going to be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you are the source of our strength. You're the source of our joy. You're the source of just making things work. We saw the story of Amaziah. And Father, that's true for us today. You have the power to make things work, or you have the power not to make things work. And Lord, I'm asking this morning for each person here that we would be strong, we would be courageous, we would not be afraid because of your presence. We know that your presence is with us wherever we go. And so, Lord, thank you for each person that's here. I just want to bless them, Father. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed. Have a good afternoon.